Greetings and welcome to another episode of Soundography. It's a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today it's our seasonal foray into rap, hip-hop. We do this at least once every season. We pick a rap or hip-hop group and focus on them for a whole episode. This was one that I think I suggested, and I'm curious to see how it went. The band is De La Soul. And
I was just going to say, I'm glad you suggested this because I won't feel so bad.
There's a little hint as to how it went for Hammond, at least. I actually think there are a lot of parallels between his experience and my experience with De La Soul this week. But let's go ahead and start off with telling you about De La Soul, in case you're not familiar. This is a hip-hop trio formed in 1987 on Long Island, New York.
Oh, and in case you forget that they're from New York, they spend a lot of time working with other New York rappers and talking about New York a lot, just in case you forget.
Just in case you forget. Well, I mean, come on. I'm trying to think. I mean, I feel like the Beastie Boys talked about New York a lot.
Yeah, I feel like these guys have taken it up to a new level.
Even more. Okay, yeah. Wow. They're best known for their quirky lyrical sense and their development of the jazz rap and alternative hip-hop styles. They're made up of Posdenus, Trugoy, and Maceo. They got together in high school and quickly garnered the attention of a producer with the demo tape, Plug Tunin'.
So Trugoy is a reverse spelling of yogurt, which guess is because he likes yogurt. And sure. Podstinos, whatever, is sound soup. Sop.
Sound sop.
And I don't know what that's supposed to be either.
Yeah, it seems like if you're going to be clever and have a backwards word as your name, make a backwards word that people understand. Like yogurt makes sense, sort of.
Yeah, and I guess if you're Michael Weston and you like a lot of yogurt, you're going to go by that.
Yeah.
It's a burn notice joke for most people.
Okay, I was going to use a Terry Crews on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's another, Terry likes his yogurt. Anyway, yeah, this is their trademark. It's wordplay and innovative sampling. Basically made their first album a hip-hop masterpiece.
And for those who have any question about the definition of 90s hip-hop, these guys are square in the center of it.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. You draw a circle around De La Soul, and you can also point to Tribe Called Quest. You can point to a Wu-Tang, Basshead. I wonder if anybody out there remembers Basshead.
I do. And the Executioners.
Yeah. And 10,000, you know, was 10,000 BC? Was that his song? 10,000 BC ago. Yeah. Anyway, but kind of a melodic rap with kind of humorous or at least thought-provoking lyrics, I think is kind of a trademark of the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first album, that landmark album, 1989's 3 Feet High and Rising. This was their debut, and it was the biggest commercial success to date. It was released on Tommy Boy Records.
The album, so Tommy Boy, though, they shared they were label mates with Pure Energy people.
In Information Society? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got to be two different things, but did Tommy Boy, they were named way before the David Spade and Chris Farley movie, because that was mid 90s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what the name, came from Tom Silverman, who was the founder. But and Queen Latifah. He was a boy. Naughty by Nature, Africa Bambaataa, Digital Underground.
There's a whole lot of Naughty by Nature in De La Soul.
Oh, totally. Yes. Yeah, that's another.
I really kept waiting for them to talk about being down with OPP.
Right. You know me. Arrested Development, also kind of in that same
style. The Money's in the Banana Stand, right?
Not that Arrested Development. The musical Arrested Development. Anyway, Prince Paul produced the album as well as the next two albums. This album is always placed on the best of lists by critics and publications. And it contained the singles Me, Myself, and I, The Magic Number, Buddy, and I Know. It was reissued in 2001 with an entire second disc of bonus material. and it was selected by the Library of Congress in 2010 to be added to the National Recording Registry. The Turtles sued them for using a sample from the song from their song You Showed Me for the track Transmitting Live from Mars.
Quelle heure est-il? Quelle heure? Quelle heure est-il? Est-il? Quelle heure est-il?
Il est midi. Midi.
So this was still in that era where it was kind of the Wild West. You just grabbed whatever you wanted to use as a sample without any sort of consideration for copyright. But I think it was on the very tail end of that. I feel like this is when artists started to kind of wise up and say, no, you can't do that without getting permission.
Yeah. And also one of those singles that you mentioned, The Magic Number, made my list. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the sample they used for that because it's really pretty clever.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too, because I can hear it in my head, but I can't, I don't know what it's from, so that's great. I can't wait to find out. In 1991, they followed up 3 Feet High and Rising with an album called De La Soul Is Dead. It was a more mature album, and the material criticized the violence and the careless image that hip-hop was portraying at the time. However, it still managed to maintain a light, absurd sense of humor. The singles were a roller skating jam named Saturdays, Ring Ring Ring, and Millie Pulled a Pistol.
This is the styling for a title that sounds silly, but nothing silly but the trifling times of Millie. Millie, a Brooklyn queen originally from Philly, complete with an accent that made her sound hillbilly. Around this time, the slamming drug was milk is chilling, but even cooler was my social worker Dylan. Yeah, I had a social worker cause I had some trouble.
Anyone and Santa slash Keeping the Faith. Yeah, this was before I get any further in here. This was actually also a way to contradict the public who was thinking about them being very fun, happy hip hop. They didn't want to
They didn't like the. They got dubbed as hippies because of their album art and the way they were presented.
Right,
and they got kind of chappy about the fact they didn't want to be called hippies.
Well, it's so much so that they actually took flowers and killed them on the cover of this album. The representation of the hippie with the dead flowers. Mm-hmm. Their love of skits helped promote the album, share their sense of humor, and get the overall message of the album out.
So I do want to say that the first three albums, 3 Feet High and Rising, De La Soul Is Dead, and Balloon Mind State, they're the best ones in my opinion. And I think it has a lot to do with Prince Paul. He might have been the provider of the secret sauce that kept these guys
going. Yeah. Totally. He was also involved with Big Daddy Kane. Did some stuff, looks like, with Chris Rock, Stetsasonic. And had his own band, Prince Paul and the Black Labels. And he's been a DJ and record producer, born in Amityville, New York. Cool. I mean, had his hand in a lot of stuff that we know, which is really cool. It didn't sell as well, by the way, that De La Soul Is Dead, but it did become a cult classic. So that's cool. That third album we just mentioned, 1993's Balloon Mind State, or Balloony Balloon Mind State, also showed another evolution in sound for the group. The album contained I Be Blowin', an instrumental that featured a saxophone. They collaborated with Ken Takagi and Sha Darapar, two Japanese hip-hop artists for Long Island Wildin. Break It Down. Is it Break? I think it's Break It Down. Break It Dawn. That's it. Break It Dawn and Ego Trippin' Part 2 were the singles released from this album. And it was listed on the top 10 best albums of the year. But yeah, definitely had, it was kind of like another more mature step up from De La Soul Is Dead. But still, you and I, this is where we still completely agree. Great first three albums. Like, all right, this is fun stuff. And then 1994's Clear Lake Auditorium EP. This was a 6-track EP of only 500 copies made in 1994. It contained a collaboration with a tribe called Quest called SHFE MCs, or Shocking Female MCs. And this has been widely bootlegged.
Okay. So this is where the samey started for me.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever withdrew from a bad case of the samey.
Okay. Yeah. You and then at that point, we did have a little bit of a different experience. Although at this point, you and I still on the same track because this was very samey. And I think I, you know, we even texted back and forth and I said, whew. Yeah, I'm in the drudge.
Yeah, there's a dark middle period.
Yes, there is. 1996, Stakes is High. This is their first album not produced by Prince Paul. It was met with poor sales, but critical praise for its musicality, lyrics, and message. And they talked about the artistic decline of rap in the mid to late 1990s. Stakes is High, It's So Easy, and four more were released as singles.
Got the solar gravitation, so I'm bound to pull it. I gets down like brothers are found, ducking from bullets. Gun control means using both hands in my land. It's all about the cautious living. Migrate into a higher form of consequence. Compliments are struggling, that shouldn't be notable. Man, every word I say should be a hip-hop quote.
I'm sick of bitches shaking asses. I'm sick.
In the album's view of the state of hip-hop, the commercialization of the hip-hop culture and criticism of gangster rap caused contempt with Tupac, who retaliated with Against All Odds from the 1996 album The Don Killuminati, The 7-Day Theory. Naughty by Nature also took offense to the record, creating a feud that has only recently died down. This also
that's because they are Naughty by Nature.
They are Naughty by, it's right there in the name. I mean, you gotta. Yeah. This album also helped introduce Mos Def to a larger audience, and Common also made appearance as well.
So what movies, can you think of some movies that Mos Def has been in?
Well, I know you can because we talked about it pre-show, but.
Yeah, 16 Blocks is the one that I think Bruce Willis, of. Yeah. And wasn't he in an Italian Job?
He was in the Italian Job, yep. And Smokin' Aces was Common. See? And Selma was Common.
Been in a bunch of the John Wick stuff,
he's been in all the John Wick, or at least 2 and 3 he's been in, or it was in 2 and is going to be in 3 because 3 hasn't come out yet. But big actors, those guys. Not to be confused with Tricky, who is in The Fifth Element. We had a long conversation about all this a minute ago that got edited out. It's a little sidebar. In 2000, De La Soul announced a triple album series called Artificial Intelligence. Kind of clever there. All three albums would be released within a year.
Okay, before we get into all that, has there ever been a band that has actually announced a project like this and followed through with it completely?
I mean, to some degree, bands say we've got an album coming out and they can stick to that. But like an epic. Like, do you think that George Michael actually had a Listen Without Prejudice Volume 2 planned?
I don't know.
Because he had just the one, right?
But like Steve Vai announced a huge box set that'd be released in one disc at a time. Yeah. He released the first one, the most recent one. There was 13 years between the one before and the one that just came out. So they don't work out the way they plan.
Do we even need to bring up Chinese Democracy?
No, that's a given. Let's see, who's another band that's done stuff like this where they've announced huge projects?
Yeah, I mean, it's
like
got to be something, some sort of huge, huge deal.
Well, Guns N' Roses did succeed with it with
User Illusion
1 and 2 released at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever big giant things like this are announced, except for maybe the Deer Hunter, they pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
You've been telling the same story over the course of many, many albums for years now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's, we hear about the ones that don't work way more than we hear about the ones that succeed. But,
so spoiler alert, this one did not work out.
However, they got further than I would have given them a chance for. So that first album, 2000's Artificial Intelligence, Mosaic Thump, contained a huge roster of guest appearances. Man, you thought Common and Mos Def were big. Oh no, listen to this list. Go ahead.
So Redman, Exhibit, Busta Rhymes, members of the Beastie Boys, Chaka Khan. I mean, the list goes on and on. I only put the names I recognized because
they're big into this. Like, you look through the albums, since the beginning of the 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, and they've had quite a few unusual guest appearances. I mean, you get the typical ones you'd expect, right? The other hip hop performers, other rap artists, but then you get like Spike Lee introducing himself on an album and stuff like that. It's kind of interesting. Ooh, Through Your City and All Good were all released as singles.
Like a little ball inside the spray can, provided three coats for both child, woman, and man.
God bless the guard, lady streets, wall to wall it go.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
yo, you got popped like a flick by that rivalry click and win.
It ain't my fault your ass is on the asphalt. Got your chin touched by my fam who thought you brought home.
In 2001, they followed it up with AOI Bionics. Baby Fat was the only single released from this album, and Slick Rick and CeeLo made appearances on the album. It'll CeeLo Green.
So Slick Rick was a definite nod to the classic old school hip hop.
Yeah, Digital Underground, right? Is Slick Rick?
No, that's the hump. No, Slick Rick was the guy that did Inspector Gadget.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Yep.
Digital Underground was the Humpty Dumpty guy.
Yes, that's right. That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah.
The one that sounds like Tony Dungy.
He totally does. Yes. Soon after the release of this album, AOI Bionics, Tommy Boy Records went under. And for the next 2 years, the only release the group had had released were remixes and remasters of previous stuff.
And I'm pretty sure that's why their third
album
grand plan fell apart was because of the folding.
I think
of Tommy
so. Boy. Yeah, I think it's a no part because of them. In 2002, they toured with Cake, Modest Mouse, and the Flaming Lips. I would have loved to have seen that show, actually. That seems like a great combo, great lineup.
Seems like a really weird show.
I don't know. It feels like, hey, would you like to have the 90s like compressed into a small pill and taken at a at a show? This is it right here. Cake, Modest Mouse, and the Flaming Lips.
I feel like if you're not under the influence of some sort of substance in extreme amounts, you're going to have question marks actually visibly over your head through the entire show.
Well, at least for the Flaming Lips part. I love the Flaming Lips, but man, that gets to be some weird stuff. Yeah. Wayne Coyne and his costumes and stuff like that. I do want to see a Flaming Lips show at some point in my life. It's on my bucket list, I guess. De La Soul are also featured in the sequel to the video game Parappa the Rapper with their song Say I Gotta Believe. In 2004, they released The Grind Date. This was not the third AOI album that had been expected, but it did gain some traction.
So the collaboration they did with the Gorillaz actually was their first and only Grammy win.
I wonder which of their vocalists, because that's got to be one of their vocalists doing that, it's my chocolate attack, you know, that rap part of In the Middle of Feel Good. I'll have to look that one up because I'm curious about that. Interesting. In 2006, they released Hip Hop Mixtape, a collection of old and new songs. It was a cover mount CD for the British magazine Mix Mag. I love those.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I found myself really becoming quite the connoisseur of the cover disc.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing that irks me more at the Barnes & Noble, though, when you pull out that Mojo magazine off the rack and somebody's already like ripped the cover CD off the front. Oh, yeah. Chaps my hide. More than the overpriced muffins that they sell there. In 2006, they released The Impossible, which was the Mission TV series, of course, a reference to Mission Impossible. There was an alternate version of this album released in Japan.
Yeah, it had a whole different track list. It was crazy. Huh.
That is interesting. I wonder why didn't they release that as two separate albums? It's kind of interesting. It's not like a food item that, more appeals to the tastes of one country versus another. It's like you'd release the same album and then release it twice or make it a double disc or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
In 2009, they toured with the Rock Bells Tour.
So Rock the Bells included the Tribe Called Quest and Tech Nine.
Oh, Tech Nine. Yeah, again, another encapsulation of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In 2009, they released the album Are You In? Nike Plus Original Run. I'm guessing this was a tie-in to, what would have been 2009? Would that have been the Apple Nike-branded iPod?
It's the app.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
Nike Plus.
Yes, the little separate device, one in your shoes too, and communicated mm-hmm. with it. Yep. Yep. This was their first release of new material in years, and it's a single 44 plus minute track and was only available through iTunes. In 2012, Plug 1 and 2 present First Serve. Not a lot of promotion given to this album. It got really good reviews, and Plug 3 Maceo was not released with it. And finally, in 2015, well, not finally, in 2015, a Kickstarter was announced to fund their ninth studio album. This album was called And the Anonymous Nobody, came out in 2016. And the tracks are purported to be the result of improvised jam sessions. And it features guest appearances from Little Dragon, David Byrne, Snoop Dogg, and Damon Albarn from Blur and Gorillaz, as a matter of fact.
Woo!
There's that connection right there. They also released, I found this on iTunes, an instrumental version of the album too, which is very interesting for a rap slash hip hop group to release an instrumental album, because it seems like it and that, goes against it.
And that's on Spotify too. That's on Spotify. If people want to, you know, learn the lyrics and have a karaoke,
they can do their own De La Soul karaoke. I think that's good. But it is kind of cool to hear that stuff without the vocals. It's just odd for a band that is, I mean, rap is not solely vocals, but it's predominantly vocals. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine Eminem releasing an instrumental album.
No.
Anyway, all right, tell us some general notes and statistics for De La Soul.
So we mentioned it kind of. They have been nominated for 6 Grammys.
Oh, wow.
But they've only won one, and that was in 2005 with their collaboration with the Gorillaz. So I'm wondering if the Academy kind of feels the same way we do, where it's fun and we like it, but it's not good enough to keep around on your phone.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think I enjoyed the last half of their catalog. I think I liked everything from the Grind date forward, although I didn't hear that Nike thing. I guess I need to go back and look for that one. One big 44 minute song.
That's dream theater.
It is. It totally is. It's like, it's basically get running and don't stop until the track is over. 44 minutes. Yeah. Keep going.
Either the track ends or your feet fall off. Have fun. Right.
Exactly. All right. Let's say you go see De La Soul in concert on one of their various tours with other 90s bands. What song are you guaranteed to hear? I feel like this is a pretty easy one to...
I actually didn't make a list because I'm not familiar enough with them to make a list. So I just put myself and I and figure I win.
I think so, because it is their... This would be their breakout single, and for sure. And indeed it is number one, only 39, like they've toured a bunch, but not a lot of their set list songs have been put on here. Like they had, in 2018 alone, 16 performances. 2017 had 23 dates. 2016, 28 dates. So lots of touring, lots of performing. However, they only list Me, Myself, and I as being played 39 times. And I'd argue that every single performance on this list probably had a Me, Myself, and I. And probably zero of them had a 44-minute Nike Run plus performance, live performance. Stakes is High, Roller Skating Jam Named Saturdays, Ooh, The Grind Date, Ring Ring Ring, Potholes in My Lawn, Ego Trippin', and All Good, rounding out the top 10. But they do also do their own Feel Good Ink cover, presumably without the, or with somebody else doing that, I guess, because I don't know if you get Damon Albarn for that.
Could
easily be sampled. Yeah. Past the Peas, a Maceo Parker cover. Choice Is Yours, a Black Sheep cover. I don't know them. Oh, wow. They did a cover of This Is Radio Clash. That would be interesting to hear. I'd like to hear that one.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So there you go. There is your Stairway to Heaven song. Speaking of covers, let's talk about songs that we would like them to cover. It shows that they've done a couple, and that that cover of Feel Good Inc. I am still going to have to look for that online, see if there's a YouTube video of it. My choice is kind of taking another band that got its big start in the 90s, Bare Naked Ladies. Their big kind of crossover rap song was One Week. And I think it would be kind of fun to hear them do that one in their slow, smooth groove style. Same rap kind of thing. It's funny because I almost want to do the Blues Traveler, suck it in if you're in Tin Tin, but holding on, say stop, think, looking like Aquaman, Buster, all the touch of frying pan, whatever it is. Yeah, that's how most people sing It's the End of the World as We Know It by REM as well, which would be another good one for them to do. That would be a great one.
Yeah, it would be. Actually, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah, see, they could do any of those like fast rap rock songs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they could get Stephen Page, who's no longer with Bare Naked Ladies, bring him in for this and do a cool duet collaboration thing and really knock it out.
So my pick is Corn Dogs by Ryan Shoup and the Rubber Band. The reason I picked this is because Ryan Shoup is a bluegrass band by definition, but they have quirky, intelligently funny lyrics that are kind of wrapped out. And I really think that De La Soul could dip this song into the deep, deep waters of themselves and turn it into something very, very cool and kind of funny.
This is good. And I was unfamiliar with it. So if you're not familiar with it, then find it on YouTube and listen to it, because it would be really funny to hear De La Soul do something with this. All right, let's get into our playlist. This is where Hammond and I both pick five songs or more, or less sometimes, from an artist's library and add it to what would be considered a greatest hits to make an ultimate deep cut and popular track playlist for a band. We'll go ahead and start with me, as we always do. This is the title track from the album The Grind Date. Mission to hanging on top. Gotta get your poly cracker on with them crackers and them shiesty ass niggas if you like it or not. I've been rewired to work more efficiently in the dirt. I'm hands on with it, all up in my cuticle. Some try to get off the farm, but fell in the harm. I get in the game of the street pharmaceuticals, but I was raised in the. This was, coming back out of that, the dirge of those middle albums. This was like one of the first songs I'm like, oh, I really like this. Like it was the rising back up after the valley of those middle. Let's just say it's the Artificial Intelligence albums were just kind of rough, very specifically. The Grind Date, a lot of fun, and definitely made it onto my list. The next one is he's called Snoopy's. From their most recent album, Anonymous Nobodies. This is the one that's got David Byrne joining them as a guest vocalist. And this just feels like a Talking Heads song. It's a Talking Heads song, plain and simple. There's no two ways about it. It's funny
you have Snoopy's, because one of mine makes a reference.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. That. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Can't wait for that. But this is from the most recent album, and it's worth checking out. A lot of good stuff on that. That Damon Albarn track is really good. And there was one with I'm pulling it back up here that had Justin Hawkins. There it is, Lord Intended. Justin Hawkins from The Darkness. That's a freaking rock song. It's awesome. It's really good. Mm-hmm. The next one, a couple tracks from 3 Feet High and Rising. First one is Tread Water. Conversation through a rule, which the crowd will roar by millions. The crocodile said, Dove, you must look, for now the villains try to hold you underwater. But one thing we all must heed, Sony Walkman keep us walking. De La Soul can help you breathe when you tread water. I did not write down any notes as to why I like the song, but I like it. And I think this was a good introduction to the band.
That's all that matters, Brian. That's all that matters. If you like it,
I know. That's all that matters. I just can't remember why I liked it, but it was, you know what? It's how positive that first album is. I can see why they got labeled hippies, because that first album, there's nary a negative sound on there. There's no minor chords. It's all like positive, upbeat major chords and fun. And I love that.
And they also fall right in line. What was the name of that song? Groove
Is in the Heart by D-Light. Yes.
Yeah. D-Light. They were kind of in that same ballpark as far as uppity, hippity kind of stuff. And I think De La Soul did not want to be pegged in that pigeonhole. So that's why they went kind of the other direction later. But that period of time in like the 91, 89, 90, 91, there was a lot of those kind of hippie
and
rap
hippie rock and out. Rap, like and the Flaming Lips, easily that same kind of hippiness.
And even Lenny Kravitz's first couple albums.
Yeah. For sure. So anyway, a lot of fun. And I followed that one up with I Know, E-Y-E, Know, from, also from 3 Feet High and Rising.
The frame of our moves the same, wish we can continue right behind the bush. You'll stay with me, I know this, but not because of all my earthly treasures or regardless to the fact that I'm past the noose, but because...
This one uses some Steely Dan samples, some Otis Redding samples, and again, it's just fun and uplifting and, you know, not talking about how much money they make or how many chicks they get or things like that. It's just like, I think that one even talks about growing up and what it was like in his town in New York or whatever, wherever it was. It's cool. Just cool stuff. Uplifting, fun stuff.
So, you know, a funny sequel to I Know would be You Know.
E-W-E. Right. And N-O. You know. The next one is, last one on my list is Break of Dawn. We talked about this one. I guess it was released as a single from Balloon Mind State.
I want to let forensics prove that I commence rule with the threat from me to water hate. Want to say salutation to the nation of the Nubians. We're about to place it in that 3 feet of stew again. I got the frequency to shatter Mr. Jones' perm. I got a hail of other honeys, cause it's short-term valley and a score for the shoddy in the jacket. For the brother, he's the nigga when he packs it. So get your butt out the sling.
You know, if they and the Flaming Lips and Tech N9ne and those bands we mentioned earlier are the little encapsulated what is the 90s, then this song is the little encapsulated what is De La Soul. This is the inception. De La Inception of their music. This was this is just such a good representation of their music, and very, I don't know, it's a lot more musical and smooth groove than your typical rap and hip hop that you hear, at least that I hear these days. And I don't know, it feels good listening to that. Let's get to yours.
All right. I picked I Be Blowin'. This is that one that has the cool jazz sample with the saxophone featured. It's instrumental. This is almost like a Charlie Brown piece of music leading back to Snoopy's.
Oh, Snoopy's. Okay, that's the connection. The
It sounds like a Charlie Brown piece of music. It feels like they sampled Vince Guaraldi.
And I was going to ask you the Vince Guaraldi trio, yeah.
Then I picked It's So Easy, more because of
because when you look at it, you don't know what it's saying until you say it out loud. It's like, it's so easy. Oh, I get it now.
It's a diamond, ain't nothing but a rock with a name. I guess love ain't nothing but emotion and game. It's the lesson well learned, cause praise is well due. I'm sending off a big op to Kenny Cow. And add a reservation for the resident crew. And yo, get your bowl, cause we cooking up stew. See, them Cubans don't care what y'all niggas do. Colombians ain't never.
But also, it's got interesting references and cool rhyme schemes in it, like a lot of their stuff does. But this one really stood out to me as a good one. Then I pick Supa MCs. Now, in hip hop, there's a class of song where the performers talk about how awesome they are.
Yes.
I have always enjoyed these. There's from Fresh Prince, their first album. He's got the I'm the Rapper, he's the DJ. You know, they're on and on. There's this huge tradition of this. And for whatever reason, I always kind of have a soft spot So when I saw this one, I decided to go ahead and throw it in there because it fits into that and they're fun. And I'm on the set like the fix, electric cameras flash, a splash bigger than whales to make the monsters match. Sweet Pinocchio's theory when shit be looking weary. I need rest, but I boogie for now. I'm on some mess like the best mics would sponsor me. Living days like dreams and specializing in the art that pays. I be enlisted for life. So check my ID number. MCs be needing dough while I make bread like Wonder. Yes. Because it really is.
Yeah, they don't do that a lot though.
The ego raps.
Like, you know, that's something I kind of thought was refreshing about their music is that, wow, they don't do a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number four for me was Squat. One of the lines in that was, when I was 9, I played with slime. Really more to say than that, other than the Beastie Boys show up in the album. So it's a big win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's cool. That's a good track. Got a lot like a crooked cop.
And then the last one was Magic Number. It's they sampled Schoolhouse Rock with the 3 as the magic number. And don't get offended while Mace Dosey Dose your daughter. A dry camera roll system is now set. Fly around stored under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound, y'all, and y'all can bet that the action not a trick, but show not a function. Everybody wants to be a DJ. Everybody wants to be an MC. But being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. Which again, I feel like all those Schoolhouse Rock things were part of that whole Sesame Street educational system. So
they were, yeah. I mean, they may have been different companies.
Huge tip of the hat to New York and that whole thing. But the fact that they took 3 as a magic number, which has a kind of a, it means something to me because I was a kid when it was on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool thing that you were able to sample that and turn it into something else. And it just shows a level of creativity.
It totally does. And it's funny because another band that covered it, another 90s, like just ripped right out of the 90s band, Blind Melon, also covered 3 as the magic number for that Saturday morning.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Saturday morning and records.
They're the B-Girl guys, right?
They are the B-Girl guys. Yeah, No Rain. This was actually, so 3 is the magic number was the very first Schoolhouse Rock clip. I guess you can't really call it a show, but the first episode of Schoolhouse Rock, January 6th, 1973. So, like 45 years ago. Yeah. How crazy is that? And all those first ones were just multiplication, and it was Elementary, My Dear, Figure 8, Naughty Number 9, Little 12 Toes. And it was just basically teaching you how to multiply by each of those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
My Hero Zero, you'd think would just be really quick. Like it'd be everything you multiply times zero, going to be zero. Done. Now back to our show. But Conjunction Junction then followed later on after all the numbers were done, and then they started to get political. Yeah, they did the America Rock stuff, the political stuff with the Suffer Until Suffrage and I'm Just a Bill and
Orange is just a color.
Orange is not natural. What if we just lost a listener? Anyway, no, that is such a great song, great cover by them, because there's 3 of them, so it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, you know what, who else is there's only 3 of? I don't know if that's true. I always think, isn't there just 3 people in this band too?
This I think there's 2 doing? Right now, and then they have 2? A bunch of hired guns with them.
Gotcha. Well, if you take 3 and divide it, you get 2 and 1, 21 pilots. Wow, that's a beautiful segue. Can't get any smoother than that.
You are. You're a part of the Podcast Hall of Fame, aren't you?
I am. I totally am. Could you tell right from there, from that moment? 21 pilots, our next episode's subject. That's going to be fun. So going like rocketing forward into current day.
So here's the problem with 21 pilots.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do it well, My daughter will hate me forever.
Oh, right, because she's a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's also going to take us forever to name all 21 people in the band and, and where they got their flight training.
Just call it all Edwards Air Force Base and we'll call it good.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. So let's say you've had enough of our jokes. You want to email us. You can totally do that. Send it to soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. Our website is soundography.com. All of our episodes are right there. So many episodes, 83 of them, in fact, plus a whole bunch of bonus special episodes that you can find there as well. For each episode, you will find links to where you can buy the songs. You'll find links to Spotify, where you can hear our playlist that we create. If depending on how many of the songs are available,
two
on this one. Yeah, yeah, I'm not two. Surprised because
they're both yours. So
yeah, so yeah. Enjoy the Snoopies and the Grind Date.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, because I remember which ones were in Apple Music too. So check that out in Spotify and maybe add your own songs to that list. And of course you can find our Patreon at patreon.com/soundography. Support the show with a buck or two a month. It's easy. It's so easy, as De La Soul would sing it. Become a supporter
and Sound Pop.
I know Sound Pop I think would be much easier, but I think there's an app called Sound Pop. But hey, you can tell us what to listen to. Just become a Patreon at a certain level, and you can dictate a show subject to us, and we have to do it. It is the law. And of course, you can leave us reviews anywhere that you get your podcast that allow reviews. Of course, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all the rest are there. We will see you next week for 21 Pilots. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying we'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.